This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-one minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, our Rams insider with the Colorado and Kevin Lytle. Kevin, my man, it has been a crazy season for CSU. One more regular season game to go, and then we get to start that Mountain West tournament. That is, I'm telling you, man, I know tomorrow's still a big game and don't want to overlook it, but I am so excited to see that tournament unfold.
I mean, this week couldn't have been a better teaser for the tournament, could be.
No
you
doubt.
Know, San Diego State beat Wyoming. Then Wyoming goes and loses to UNLV. Fresno State kind of out of nowhere goes and takes San Diego State to double overtime. Frankly, probably should have beat them at the end. And that doesn't even include, you know, Boise State winning the title. What a week. And this is, like I say, it's just the lead end of the tournament. I can't wait. I mean, it's going to be phenomenal. Great basketball. You know, we talked some on our show yesterday and talking to other people. You know, you can sit there and sort of nitpick, do you want your team to face this team or this team? But whoever makes the championship is going to have run through quite a challenge to get there, because the league is just so good.
No question about it. I mean, we're sitting here talking. I could see this. I'm looking down going all the way down. You go to UNLV, you go to Fresno State, Utah State. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to be extremely shocked if suddenly Fresno State gets hot or Utah State gets hot or UNLV. That's the crazy thing about this conference is, yeah, the studs have been great all year, but almost to the bottom of this conference in the standings, you still have some great teams, some solid teams at least.
Yeah, I think you get all the way until the 10 and 11 seeds before you really have a team. You know, New Mexico can't go win it. You know, I don't think they can string together four straight days, but they're absolutely dangerous enough to go win two games and mess things up. So you really have nine teams that could either, you know, win it all, or at least cause a lot of chaos. And you know, I think seven or eight of those, you can pretty easily make an argument about how they, you know, will go win the tournament next week. So that just speaks to depth. Like I say, you know, CSU is, you know, most likely will get either Fresno State or Utah State. It's like, well, I don't know. I mean, either one's going to be really tough. So I don't think there's really any clear choice of, you know, who you would want to face in that quarterfinal.
What kind of pressure is on Colorado State, Kevin? I mean, I kind of felt after the Wyoming game that they might have punched the ticket, but then they add some insurance. They go to Utah State. They win that game. We had discussed it yesterday, but for our listeners' sake, are they in at this stage in your mind?
Yeah, CSU is in. I mean, they're a lock, and, you know, and that's not just me. Every bracketologist out there, you know, Bracket Matrix, which aggregates every projection out there, has CSU in every single bracket that exists in mankind. So that kind of tells you how solid they are. So it's all about seeding now. So it's a different type of pressure, I would say. You know, knowing you're in, even though, you know, like you said yesterday, David Arati's not about to play that game. The team's not about to play that game, but you know, realistically they are in, so it's a little different pressure, but you still need to finish well, win as much as you can, improve your seed. So it's pressure in a different type of way. It's pressure to, I guess, reach the, you know, the ceiling that the team and most people think they have, which is not only to make the tournament, but to potentially win there. So that's where you're at right now. It's different than last year when it was, you know, we got to keep winning as many games as we can just to have a chance to get in.
How high do you think this goes as far as the seed for CSU? How high can they get? And what would that process need to look like?
Yeah, so right now on Bracket Matrix, easier for me to say, they're averaging out about number seven seed. If CSU were to win out, beat Boise State tomorrow, and then win the tournament, I think they're a five almost certainly. I think there's a fairly easy path to get to a six, you know, probably win three total games between the regular season finale and the Mountain West tournament. So that would get you to the championship game. I think that definitely gets you a six. Even just making the semifinal, I think they could get a six as well. So, I think 5 to 7 range is all very much in play. And then, you know, if things were to go, you know, wrong, so to speak, and they were to lose to Boise and lose the quarterfinal, frankly, I don't really think CSU will drop past a 9. You know, a 10 is possible depending on what other teams do in their tournaments and such. But really, I think 9 is probably the worst they would do.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. Okay, Kevin, you're getting Rams fans doing it, so it's not just me, but you see Gonzaga lose to St. Mary's, and then we're going back in our brain, wait a second, Colorado State beat St. Mary's. So what does that tell you anything, or do you look at that and say, dude, come on, there was like 6 top-tier teams that were upset. This is college basketball. This is how it goes. Should we pump the brakes just a little bit on that kind of talk?
Yeah, I would say it tells you that college basketball is crazy, and I think it does tell you that, you know, we've seen how many number ones have lost this year. I honestly don't even know the number, but it's a ton. So I think it tells you that there are a lot of teams that are very good and on their day are supremely elite, but they don't do that day every day. So I think it means, you know, whether CSU is part of it or not, I think we're going to see some funky, you know, seed numbers in the Elite Eight and in the, you know, maybe even the Final Four. But you know, that being said, you know, no, I don't think you want to run into Gonzaga unless you're talking, you know, an Elite Eight game or something like that.
Yeah, no, I know. And that's the crazy thing about this. But, you know, I tell you, at the beginning of the season, you're seeing all these great wins for CSU, which is a huge reason why we're sitting comfortably today talking about CSU going dancing. I'll tell you, as I've watched the conference unfold, I wouldn't be shocked if a CSU, if a Boise State, for that matter, even San Diego State, I wouldn't be shocked if one of those teams goes very deep, you know, even into the Sweet 60, maybe even beyond that.
Yeah, and maybe this is me being hopeful because the Mountain West does need to have some postseason success. But I feel like there's a Sweet 16 team in the Mountain West. You know, let's wait until we see the brackets before I can tell you which one that's going to be. But you all of them, there's a reason why. San Diego State, you know, can be quite limited offensively, but their defense is just absolutely elite. You know, I was looking at one, I don't even remember where it was, one projection that had them as an 8-9 in their second round game would have been Gonzaga. And that's one where I'm thinking, again, I wouldn't favor San Diego State or anything, but if you're Gonzaga, that's probably not who you want to face because they're really long and athletic and defend really well. You know, so they're interesting. You know, Boise State, likewise, they defend really well and have some talented offensive guys. You know, CSU is playing much better defensively, and they have just so many ways they can score, so they can really exploit matchups. I mean, you know, St. Mary's is an elite defensive team, and CSU basically just whipped them. So, you know, those three teams certainly have that ability, and even Wyoming with good matchups could do as well. So I hope that there's a Sweet 16 team in the Mountain West. I think they have the quality to do it, but man, the league really does need one of these teams to show well in the tournament to kind of validate nationally, I guess, the year the Mountain West has had.
So Kevin, all right, you got Boise State in, you got Colorado State in. Is San Diego State in? Is Wyoming in at this point, or is there work to do for both teams?
Well, it's a good thing San Diego State, for the Aztecs, that they didn't lose to Fresno last night, because that will push them back onto the bubble. And now, you know, the Nevada game tomorrow is dangerous, you know, partially because they just played 2 overtimes. They're traveling today. They're going, you know, now to Nevada. You know, Nevada's not great, but they have some guys that can score. So they need to win that one. I think right now San Diego State is very solid. You know, I think they're one of those that even if they went 0-2, I think they would make it, but they would really, really sweat it out. Wyoming, they have some work to do. I think they have to beat Fresno Saturday to be feeling somewhat comfortable. And you know, it would behoove them to win their quarterfinal game as well, which is going to be against UNLV, which obviously is not going to be an easy one. So Wyoming's the one I'm worried about. I think the other three are all going to be in. Wyoming's the one that's now in a little bit more precarious a spot.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, at the beginning of the week, Wyoming fans were very hopeful that maybe the game tomorrow between CSU and Boise State was going to have some impact on on the Cowboys. And now, I mean, the Cowboys have dropped 2 in a row this week. It's been a rough week for them when they really needed to be kind of at their best.
Yeah, they've kind of, maybe tailspun is too dramatic a word, but they've lost 6 of their last 8. So they are not playing well at the end of the season. I guess the good thing is, you know, UNLV has been playing so well that if Wyoming does go and beat UNLV in the quarterfinal, you know, metrically it wouldn't be like incredible win, but it would be solid. I think it would tell the committee like, hey, that, you know, that one, you know, at the end of the regular season was more fluky. So they do have their opportunities, but man, they are not in a great way, and they just seem like their legs are spent. You know, they play so few players that they just look like an exhausted team right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It'll be interesting to see what happens between the Cowboys and the Bulldogs. Fresno State, they got that one earlier game at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Kevin Lytle.
I'm sure Wyoming is happy that Fresno had that double overtime game.
Yeah.
Because, you know, again, they have the same thing. They had to travel up to altitude now. And Fresno State is locked in as the sixth seed, so they don't really have anything to play for. So I'm not saying they're going to throw the game, but you're not going to see Orlando Robinson play 38 minutes in Laramie. You know, for a game that doesn't really matter. So that certainly helps Wyoming.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and moving to tomorrow night between CSU and Boise State. I asked David yesterday if, you know, knowing that Boise State had already won the regular season title, if that took some of the juice out of the game. And I think it's the opposite. He kind of said, I think it adds more because they're the champs, and we want to say we're the best team, and we already beat them once, so there's a little bit more juice there because we're kind of going at this as, you know, maybe they're not the underdogs or whatever, but David's kind of wanting to view it from that mentality.
Yeah, absolutely. I think CSU is not going to lack any motivation because, you know, like we've talked, you know, it matters for seeding both Mountain West and NCAA tournament. And then, yeah, I think you nailed it right there. CSU would love the opportunity to win that game and say, okay, you know, maybe Boise was the champs and credit to them. They had a great season, but we beat them twice. So, you know, maybe we're not quite co-champs, but we've got quite a feather in our cap. You know, and use that as a little bit of a swagger, a talking point for the committee as well. So yeah, I think CSU is not going to be lacking any motivation. I think they, not sure underdog's the right word, but I think they feel they're the best team and will want to prove that.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and the fans have shown their support all year. We had another super fan on the show from Red Cup CSU. I mean, I love interviewing these guys, Kevin. His story was interesting. He was talking about when Nico first got here, or got to Fort Collins, rather. He's like marketing. He's getting the coaching staff together. He's getting Nico Carvacho. He's getting Kendall Moore, Adam Thistlewood. They're going out and they're talking to the students about, hey, we need you guys. We need to build this up. I mean, I hope other coaches are listening because that's a genius move right there.
Yeah, it really is. And even taking it further back, I talked to Tim Miles right before CSU played San Jose State, and he was telling me about how when Tim – you know, first came to CSU, you know, back in the day, and the program was in terrible shape then. You know, Nico Medved was his first hire, and he said Nico was at every single event, you know, Rotary Club. He was talking to students. He was talking to boosters. He, you know, anything and everything. He said, you know, assistants don't show up to all that. He goes, but Nico did. Nico, you know, raised his hand for every single thing because he knew that's how you know, that grassroots, you know, literal foot, you know, feet on the ground work is how you build a fan base that, you know, is in a bad way. And that's what he did when he came back as a head coach, and it's paid off. I mean, I don't know, you know, there's no more proof that you possibly need than five straight sellouts to show that the work they've done has paid off. Obviously you have to win, you know, just going out and shaking hands, but then, you know, going 5-25 wouldn't do the job. But combine those two, and you get quite a thing going.
I really liked what you said yesterday during our College Hoops tip-off show. You had mentioned, okay, there's going to be teams at some point that are going to certainly reach out to Nico. But what you brought up, you're like, looking around at Moby Madness and all that, you are going to have the question with Nico on the reverse. He's going to say, obviously, you're coming to me because you're not very good, and you probably don't have that great of a fan base. Can you guarantee that we can build something up like this? Because that is magical. I mean, when coaches look at, you know, obviously there's money, there's success, but when you look at the environment that you want to coach in, Moby Arena right now, Moby Madness is sure providing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those, you know, Nico's done such a good job here that, yeah, anyone that calls, obviously, yeah, money does play a role. You know, let's not be dumb about that. But it's not a case where Nico's like, man, I got to jump out of here because no one cares. You know, we're winning, but no one cares. that's, you know, it's the opposite of that. So anyone that calls, he'll have questions as well of, you know, what's the support going to be? You know, how are we going to build this? You know, what steps to get it to where we are now? This thing is cooking. Let's say and assume that the core of this team comes back next year. You know, all of a sudden, is this team, you know, selling out, you know, most games? You know, hey, it's Arkansas Pine Bluff, some crappy team no one's ever heard of. Well, 8,000 fans will be there because that's what this program is. That's, you know, if you have that happening, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. It's a blast of an environment. Should be a crazy, crazy scene on Saturday as they're rounding out the regular season and sending this team off to the Mountain West Conference Tournament. It's a blast to cover. Kevin, my man, what are you working on that we can check out now between now and game time?
Yeah, plenty of stuff online. Have a story about the three seniors who are being honored tomorrow, Chandler Jacobs, Kendall Moore, Adam Thistlewood, kind of some thoughts on all of them, somewhat about the other guys and how they feel. I'll have sort of a preview of the game and what it means and a little bit more in depth there. And then obviously covering the game tomorrow night. And then, just a bevy of stuff planned for the next week as we head into and through the Mountain West tournament.
I'm looking forward to it. Nobody does it better, my man. Kevin, I'll be following you, looking for your coverage next week. We'll reach out and we'll talk some Mountain West tournament time. I am so excited for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait. Tomorrow's going to be a lot of fun, but that tournament, man, it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Kevin, my friend, we'll catch up with you. Safe journeys next week, and we'll talk to you, I'm sure, while you're on site. So we're looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Brady.
Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. This guy is in the trenches every single practice, every single game. Kevin's out there providing the best Rams coverage, and we're happy to get him on the program. 38 minutes after the hour. Jades, let's jump out real fast and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.